I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Muslim lady. Well, this is Asma once more. I have the honor to be your host in this program. And then we have Brother Mustafa with us to help us with the topics related to Muslim ladies. So, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Happy to be back for these episodes. You know,
thank you very much. Just for those people who have joined us recently, give us a very brief introduction about yourself.
Sure. I'm studying here in the Hawza, and I'm studying psychology as part of my studies. And I've been here for about 6 years.
Yeah. So, Brother Mustafa is an expert in psychology and he knows about Islamic heritage and the narrations. So he's going to help us to look at Muslim ladies and their topics from the perspective of men.
I'll try my best, yes.
Yeah, thank you for your cooperation. And right now in today's episode, we're going to look at history, at how women were treated back in time. When the Prophet started to emerge. So, and how he challenged those notions and fought them back.
Right. So historically, you know, speaking, we know that before the Prophet, we call that era it's called the era of Jahiliyyah or ignorance.
And the Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages, because a lot of the practices that were being done back then, they were pretty bad, right? They didn't make a lot of sense many times. And unfortunately, you know, women were treated extremely, extremely poorly back then. For example, they were treated as property of men. You know, they could just pretty much give them away, take them. We know, for example, that girls were buried alive at birth many times because they were seen as being sort of useless in terms of, you know, farming and like doing all of like the manly work, right? They couldn't go to war. So a lot of times, the people back then, they viewed women really from a very weak point of view, that they were weak. And if a woman was born, they would bury them, right?
Yeah, they had a brutal perspective toward women.
Right. So from that point of view, I wanted to then sort of talk about how, you know, how the Prophet and the Quran came and challenged that, right? Yeah. One point I want to make is that if you think about it, the Prophet grew up in that same society, right? Like, I'm almost 40 years old now, and the Prophet was almost 40. Well, he was 40 when he declared that he's a prophet, right? Now, imagine you're an Arab man living in that culture, you would think you would adopt the same practices, right?
Exactly.
Whereas the Prophet's sort of, or the Quran's views are completely going against that culture, right? And I would say they're so advanced or they're so progressive that... we're still studying those things today. I mean, the Prophet didn't have a PhD. He didn't go to university, right? He didn't go and study elsewhere. So where was he getting these ideas from?
And what he said and what the Holy Book of Quran said about women and about everything are just timeless.
Right. I think that for me also proves how this religion is divine, that it's from God, that it is timeless, right? For me, that's one way to sort of prove the divinity and the miracle of the Quran, that it's challenging, like, it's coming up with completely radical ideas which don't belong in that culture, right? Which are just from somewhere outside.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is just the introduction. We go for a break and then we'll be back to see what's going on.
Sure.
Welcome back. This is Muslim Ladies, and we're talking about history and how women were looked upon back in time. And we're talking about the Prophet and how he challenged all those ideas and how brutal women were treated at the time when the Prophet came and started to talk about notions that were so unfamiliar for the people of those dark ages.
Right. So you can see from the get-go, if you read the Quran, you know, there are so many verses which talk about women, right, and their rights, and how, for example, they should be treated, what their role is in society. One thing I want to clarify before we really jump into it is this idea of, like, women being equal to men. I think that idea has to be sort of explained in the sense, in some cases, women are treated as equal to men. For example, in terms of, you know, worship and their spiritual ranking, for example, you know, their ability to, like, they're accountable just as men for their actions, right? In that terms, they're being treated equal. But then we also have to talk about equity, right? To give you an example, like, whoever talks about women being equal to men, then what about, let's say, in sports, right? Why do we have then separate sports for women and men, right? It's a very logical sort of, we know it's a logical.
Yeah, it's logical. It's pretty logical.
Then they have to be separated, right? In the same way, the Quran separates the roles and, you know, the rights of women and men based off of those sort of dimensions, right? So if somebody comes and says, you know, women and men are completely equal, that they have to be treated completely the same, yes, they have to be treated the same in terms of laws and, you know, accountability. But in terms of their roles in society, they can't be the same, just like how in sports and many other places, they're not the same, right?
Well, actually, back in time, if we look back at history, we could see that the first time when they started to talk about the rights of women, they did not have this in mind to come and say, men and women are the same. They were just fighting for the rights of women. Like, women have got rights. And in those ages, women had no rights. All they fought for were to have some of those rights.
Right. And the Prophet and the Quran have came and did that, right? They gave women their correct status. Like, the main, I would say, instead of using the words equal equality, we can say the word, you can use the word justice, right?
Yeah,
justice means
exactly.
Putting things in their own place, right? So the Prophet came in, not only did he give justice to the entire society, but of course he gave it to women specifically as well. Give you examples of that. If you look at the Quran, like some of the terms that are used, you know, from that you can tell, for example, women are considered, you know, you'll see many verses where it talks about believing men and believing women, right? They're considered as Muslims. They're considered as servants of God. They have, like, shared prayers, fasting, you know, all of the things that that are applicable to any man, they're applicable to women as well in the Holy Quran. One other thing, you know, one of our teachers was, I've started attending this Dars Akhlaq, which is...
The study of manners.
Study of manners and, you know, focus on spirituality. Yeah. So the person that was speaking that, he's an Ayatollah, and he was saying one of the problems that we have today, especially today, is we have problems in our thinking and our ideology. He said if people were really referred to the Quran and you know, the lifestyle of the Prophet, they would realize that many of their, like, errors in thinking will go away.
Exactly.
So one example that he gave is that the focus of Islam is on purity and spirituality, which we sort of lost today, right? You don't really see young youth like focusing on, like, the spirituality, right? They have just like 1,000 different questions, but they're not necessarily focusing on keeping themselves pure, for example, or keeping themselves spiritually strong, right?
Yeah.
Many people don't even believe that they have a spirit. Whereas the Quran says that, you know, we've created men and women from one soul, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in other religions, for example, they'll say, like, Eve was created from the rib of Adam, right? Hava was created from the rib.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of concept. Or in Christianity, they say it was Eve, Hava, who was tempted by Satan in the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah.
Whereas we don't believe that. We see that both were sort of tempted and they both did that. At the same time, they were both forgiven and they both asked for forgiveness. So you can see that equality in Islam started from the very beginning that we talk about Adam and Eve, right? They were both of the same status in heaven. And when they came down to earth, they were treated completely equally by God.
Yeah, and also in the Holy Book of Quran, God says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That is, the most worthy of you in God's eyes are those who are more pious. And right. He does not mention whether it's a woman or a man.
Definitely. There's so many places where God doesn't mention whether it's a man or a woman, yeah. right? Like, for example, we have another verse where it talks about, you know, the word zawj, by the way, many times it's mistranslated into English. When you look at the Quran in English, many times they'll translate the word zawj as wife or wives, for example, whereas in reality it just means spouses,
yeah.
right? For example, we have a prayer where, you know, we ask God to give us spouses that are going to be, well, the exact verse is, رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Right?
Yeah.
Give us like children and spouses, which are going to be comfort for our eyes.
The happiness, yeah. They're going to be the happiness to our life.
You know, there's so many verses that we can really discuss. Like this prayer itself is such a beautiful prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
In another verse, for example, which is much more popular, I would say, where God says that, you know, we've created like this relationship between a man and a wife, where it brings them peace, right? It's for their own peace, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so we can keep it here. Go for a break,
sure.
and then we come back to pursue the rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Brother Mustafa telling us about the historical challenges that have been there for the women and the things that Prophet changed in those dark ages.
Right. I think one of the things that the Prophet also brought is like very specific laws which protected women. For example, the law for, you know, false accusations against women, right? There's like Surah Nur, which talks in much detail about this, talks about the punishment for falsely accusing a woman, right? Or falsely accusing a man. Also, it works both ways, which I think would be very radical in that time, right? If you think about it, women were not given that much space to sort of practice law, right? Many times we have stories where women would come to the Prophet and say, you know, my husband did this, my husband did that.
Yeah.
And the Prophet would then, you know, judge or give, you know, judgments based off of that. For a woman to do that back then, I would say in that society where we talked about where it was the dark ages, you know, women were treated as property. How did he come up with that? How was he able to radicalize people's thinking to accept women as an equal partner to a man? Right?
Yeah, which is very difficult.
That's very difficult. And then the Quran really defines, I think, the roles in society that a man and a woman have, right? For example, we're told that men are the caretakers of women, right? Women then are told, for example, are given responsibilities for childbearing and child weaning, right? So the Quran is very, very radical and revolutionary in that terms that these things that we're talking about, you know, I'm studying maybe in psychology about, people have written books about these, you know, that they've spent their life studying these topics. Like if you go to the West, you know, you'll see that psychology has a history of like 200-300 years back, right?
Yeah.
And they're only really, women were only given rights in the West, for example, in the past 100 to 200 years. Whereas we're talking about 1400 years in the middle of in an Arabian desert.
So what are the other laws or places that women have been brought into that before that they did not have a role in it?
It's a great question. There are so many places. You know, I mentioned one of those. One was like worship, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what kind of role women played in worship back then, but we know that within Islam, the spirit is really, really important, right? Your spirituality. So in terms of worship, you know, women are given the same rank as men. Like you could be a woman and you can be a much, like, you know, you can have a much higher spiritual rank than a man. It makes
exactly.
no difference. It depends on your actions. Other places we see, for example, in inheritance. When the father or husband dies, we see there are specific laws about how much inheritance, you know, woman will receive.
Yeah, and by the way Prophet respected his only daughter made it perfectly clear for everyone that women have got a place of respect.
You know, his first wife,
exactly,
Khadija, and then also the rest of his wives as well. those are exemplary role models for us to see how the Prophet treated them.
Yes.
When he had problems
so
with his wives.
Just as he came, he started to change the directions of society. He started to change the way women were looked at. And this was a great, actually, challenge at that time, which started at the time of the Prophet, and then it started to flourish in the coming generations. So thank you, brother, and thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another episode. I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.